The word of God is the seed of creation. The word of God is life.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned by God to go raise his end time armies.
Why do we have ministers who are misbehaving? Many have never been trained. They've read books about ministry, but you must understand that reading book is not the same thing as being held by the hand and told what to do. When you were young, you went everywhere you wanted to go. But the time is coming that you become old. Another will hold you by the hand and lead you to places you didn't want to go. That's training.
Get set for an awakening.
Get set for an awakening.
I want you to open your spirit and receive from the Lord. The person I'm bringing up is one of the most gathered ministers of God for this generation. He's a man full of love and great compassion. He's a man of character and great integrity. He's a student of scriptures, a teacher par excellence. He communicates depths, yet simplifies them that a child can understand. He's the prophet of God. His words don't fall to the ground. And so sometimes when he's teaching, he begins to prophesy. If he gives you a word, it surely comes to pass. I've known him as a servant of Jesus, not just a preacher, but a servant of Jesus, a witness of the last day. With people like this, we know that there is hope for the next generation. Resting upon him is a patriarchal anointing, because the spirit of fatherhood is fully embodied in him. Encounter Jesus Ministries International, we are honored tonight to have all the way from Ibadan, the set man over the sphere of Light Church, Pastor Femi Lazarus. Please receive him with a standing ovation. Celebrate him, celebrate him. Now you can press something. Feel free.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands where we are standing and bless the name of the Lord from your heart? Please, I'd like you to do it with everything within you. Bless the name of the Lord from the depth of your heart. Particularly, I want you to thank God because he has counted you worthy to be a part of what he's doing in this season. Please don't do it on your lips, truly mean it. Be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. Be intentional. Bless him from the depth of your heart. Oh, mashate krandera kapitana rakush de febiletishto. Sendera kambatishto frabaneketish. Oh, Jesus, we bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. Mante ka file mende ko brafrande ka baladia teste veli monte kapidai. Aida mande kisto vrahambe likoste bala ka fradista. Lende ke brufe bina shahada katish. Lembe toste krabanetish. Ambanande credimos te vende makai da bilotista. Jesus. Shende kabala barako shente roko profidish. O fraham belisto krahabaleka. Ye belediba kabra vende roko shente. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. Father, we thank you, particularly for the significance of this gathering. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me celebrate, Apostle. Come on, if you are doing that, you should do it better. Thank you, Father. And I want to celebrate all God's servants here. Thank you so much, sirs. Apostle Lars, the man, Pastor Favor. Amen. And I want to celebrate everyone. Mama, thank you. So good to see you again. Amazingly, that around this time last year, we were dancing right there at Benin. We are so excited to see what God is doing. Amen. Please, let's be seated in a minute. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I think, man of God, I think this meeting is a setup. And I think there is a connection between this gathering and Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 13. There was a gathering that was called in Acts 13, from verse 1. It said, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I have called him. You know, I stand here trying to fight tears because like I said, this is a setup. And it appears that what God is doing from this season is that it will no longer be business as usual. The man who came to pick me from the hotel, I was asking him because the Lord gave me a word. So I had to ask him because I just heard the word Lugbe. This is my first time in this city. Can I flow on? Because the Lord said he is going to give you a property that you couldn't have bought in Lube. Now, pay attention. And he said it is going to be the beginning of the fulfillment of what he had said. Because the conversation that bettered this gathering was what the Lord revealed as touching an anointing that will rest, because he's raising you as an eagle under whose feathers the body of Christ is united. I'd like us to please pay attention. And the Lord said that one of the things that is going to be the stripes of that anointing is the largeness of heart. And he said it's going to bring unusual dimension of wealth. But I don't know where that Lube is. I was trying to ask him. That's where you stay. Now, for a sign for you to know, the place could not have been bought with money. I don't know why the Lord said that word. You know, a time came Bob Jones met with a man of God and told him that the Lord was going to give him a land a property that belonged to A.S. Truman for a sign. And the time is coming, man of God. This meeting is a setup, but let's try and sit. Please, thank you. Hallelujah. I think I'm still going to, over time, before I leave, bring Prophet JT. I'm meeting him for the first time. I celebrate you, sir. Hallelujah. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. While I was on my way here, four times I had a vision on the plane. And two out of those four times, the Lord asked me specifically to pray for an individual here whose journey has been scattered several times over through the operations of wrong prophecies. You believed something wrongly, and it altered the direction you ought to have gone, and your life from that moment has been a consequence of that error in belief. So when the time comes when I begin to pray for people, I'm going to pray with you. And I do not take the privilege to stand on this place for granted. At Luke chapter number 10. Let's start the reading from verse 1. Luke 10 from verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now the Lord has given me a word to share. And the title of, I'll call it brief exhortation, is the Harvest Church. The Harvest Church. Please, I'd like us to pay attention. Nothing fights the move of God like intellectualism. The attempt of men to summarize the activities of God on the earth into mental capacities. The attempt of men to think that they can think out the activities of God. And what we have found over time is that there is subtle exchange of intellectualism for spirituality. You see? Such that when that happens, the world conditions the church, because the church will have to wait for the world to set the pace, then the church will now have to follow. But when we understand our duty as a people, particularly in this season, then we understand that the design of God is that the church set the pace, then the world follows. So one of the things that kills the move of God is that the people of God wait for inventions, innovations, and release of certain things for the church now posture or pattern themselves after those things. The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the last day church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival. Because when a season comes, there can be many activities in a season. Let me give you an instance. The Pharisees and the Sadducees gathered themselves and the Sanhedrin. They used to belong to a sect that came as an offshoot of the 70 elders that God took the Spirit upon Moses and shed upon. But a time came in their journey that the only thing that was left was the knowledge of the Torah, such that what they have read in prophecy about a virgin giving birth to a child and the things that will happen, those things played out before their very eyes and they were not aware. So you can be a student of prophecy and still fight prophecy. It is not enough that we are students of prophecy. It is important that we are students in the school of the Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Because prophecies can be written for generations to come, and the fulfillment can never take the form of man's calculation. So, what God wants us to know first tonight is what He is doing in this season. An average believer knows that we're in the middle of a great revival. It is clear there is something upon the nation Nigeria. It looks as if the benevolence and the right hand of God is stretched upon this nation. As our powers are, so is also our troubles. In the midst of these great difficulties that we found ourselves, both nationally and sometimes even individually in life of the people. Alright? And so great also is the move of God in this nation. It is clear that there is something that God is doing that is beyond the scope of man's knowledge. But that is in general terms. The question now is, what is God doing specifically? We understand that there is a move, and yet in the middle of a move, there are many moves. As a matter of fact, any move that survives a generation will survive because those who are handing over have learned to die to certain things that brought them up, so that new things that God is doing will take the next generation further. Sometimes what announces a generation is what will kill the next. The move of the Spirit is like the wave of a sea. It rises, but it also falls. You don't create the wave, you take advantage of the wave. We don't create the move of the Spirit, we take advantage of the move of the Spirit. We don't create the activities of what God is doing, we position ourselves to see what He's doing. So when we speak about revival, an average believer believes that revival is a meeting, and some believe that revival is a meeting where there is a move, people fall down and scatter the chairs. We saw clearly in Luke 10 that where the season that was described as the season of the harvest. What that means is that there is so much work to be done. But amazingly, this same season was simultaneously described as the season of scarcity of laborers. You will think that when the harvest is great, the laborers will be plenty. So, we are seeing two things that do not even look alike. Are you following what I'm saying? When you go to the farm, the most important activity is around the time of the harvest. Because the things you have labored for, the things you have struggled to plant, you have irrigated your land, you have cut away the weeds, you have done many things, you burnt many chaffs off, the season of the harvest is the most important season. So, Jesus is also now saying that the harvest season is coming, and I have seen it that the harvest is great. But what I'm also seeing is that the laborers are few. The question is, should not the laborers be waiting to take advantage of the harvest? If this is the harvest generation, I need to explain. If you study the history of the move of God, one of the things you will find out is that God moves in the body. And the contention of the move mostly is not from outside the body of Christ, it is from within the body of Christ. Alright, from the Catholic eras to the Protestant eras to all different seasons we've had, it is believers who have been eagerly expecting God to do something, who see God doing those things and misunderstand what God is doing, fight it, then the move has to break out from what looks like rebellion, because every time God wants to do something, He is not concerned about sentiment. Is concerned about what He has set in place. Let me tell you this. If God cannot get you to a point where your posture is fixed on what He is doing part time, you will fight what God is doing, and you will fight it in Jesus' name. Are you seeing that? What God wants to do is not to get you into something fixed. What he wants to do is to get you into his movement. The nature of God is not fixed. And that's why if you look at the word God, two-thirds of that word is the word go. Because he's always on the move. He's doing something new in a new season. And sometimes the new things he's doing does not look like what will ever happen. God is not a loyalist to a move. He's a loyalist to what he's doing. Let me explain. What is a mystery to a generation is a common sense to another. If you look at the life of Peter, in the mercy of God, he showed him a vision and a sheet was let down from heaven and he was told to kill and eat the creatures that are there. And the person who is telling him to kill and eat is also the one who once said you should not eat anything unclean. And what Peter was saying was quoting what he said to him. But the move of God is not in what God said. The move of God is in what God is saying. Because he said to Abraham, kill Isaac. Later he said, use the ram. So people who heard what he said and write it a permanent marker and not understand what he's saying, fight the same move they have written down. Are you following what I'm saying? Is this simple enough? What I'm saying, is this simple enough? Please follow me. But we saw Paul writing to Timothy and was saying what God was saying, that every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. It should be received with thanksgiving and supplications unto God. In a man, we are seeing a man that God started something with. He was around in the days of Jesus. They ate, they drank together, he saw the miracles. There was a plan for his life. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to him that you are Peter, and upon this rock of the revelation of Jesus as the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. And later we are seeing that same Peter could not further in what God is doing, because he believed something wrongly. So sometimes when the move of God begins in a place, it is not those who are outside the folds of Christianity that misunderstands what God is doing. It is those who once heard something God said. That is something that is specific for a generation. And now he's saying something that is specific in line with what he is doing. So what is happening now in the body of Christ is that we are in the season of the harvest. The harvest of nations are ripe. And one of the reasons why laborers are few is that we have fewer people who are going to nations because of harvest than those who are going to nations because of jobs. Let me come again. We have fewer people who are going to nations because of harvest, and we have much more people of those who are going to nations because of jobs. And if the experience in a nation fascinates you, you can be their savior. And let me tell you this. One of the fundamentals about this season is that it doesn't matter how wealthy a man is. If he doesn't have Christ, he is needy. So the laborers of this season, their strategic positioning is not the position of those who are looking for money or those who are looking for wealth, but those who are looking for the harvest of nations. They are not those who are trying to receive impartation so they can look like a special man of God. But those who are ready to bear the burden of the harvest. And let me say this to you. The season of the harvest is a season of plenty contention. And if you listen to what I'm teaching you this afternoon, this evening, prophetically, and you allow your eyes of understanding to be opened, one of the things you'll find out is that God is giving you survival kit for what is coming. Because what you think about the harvest is that the enemy is going to fold his arms and let you walk into the harvest and harvest the things you want to harvest and then go with the harvest. But no. One of the reasons why laborers are few is because there is contentions for the harvest. Let me give you this illustration. First, let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Can I hear somebody say it loud and clear? There is contention for the harvest. Say it again. There is contention for the harvest. The devil is not folding his arms. He is not keeping quiet. You are not just going to get into the hands of a strong man and spoil him. And the devil will fold his arms and say, well done. If you are going to get into the harvest, you have to understand that the harvest is a warfare. It is not funfare. The harvest is what? Warfare. And please pay attention. Look up. Let me just quickly give you this. If you look at these scriptures from natural parlance, what you think about the harvest is that you get what is ripe and separate them in one place. But also in the harvest are those that when they were ripe, they were not separated. And now they are getting spoiled. Also in the harvest are those that need to quickly be processed. Because if you leave them for long, they are going to get spoiled. So there are different departments yet one harvest. There are those who are plucking. There are those who are processing. There are those who are gathering. There are those who are separating. And there are those who are scattering. So what happens is, the contention for the harvest, I want to say something very strong, and I need to listen well. So let me put it like this. Most part of the contention for the harvest is between people who are in different departments in the harvest. The one who is plucking believe if you are not plucking, then you are not right. And the one who is processing believe if you are not processing, then you are not smart. And the one who is separating believes if you are not separating, you are not doing the right thing. So the devil has learned a very fantastic principle system against the church. One that if you operate again and again, you will get results. And the principle is simple. Divide a house against itself, it cannot stand. That's the principle. What's the principle again? Divide the house against itself, it shall not stand. And that's why you see that most of the move of God are born from adversity. They are born from pain, the pain of childbirth. When people talk about the revival of the move of God, what do you think? Do you think the move of God is something you do and you appear before men and they celebrate you and the devil is not going to fight you? But what amazes people more is how the devil fights, not even the fight. Because the way you fight is usually the way you are not prepared for. The way the devil fights those who are in the harvest is usually the way they are not prepared for. Usually most people have read stories from the past, but they are not prepared for a repetition of the same thing in the present. The devil doesn't change what works. If he used food against Adam and he fell, he's going to present food first to Jesus. Are you seeing that now? If it works once, in fact, one of the reasons why the test of the temptations of the devil are serious is that it doesn't assume you are too big for a test. The devil doesn't function with assumptions. He doesn't look at a believer and say to you that because you have just finished praying for 15 minutes, you can't fall into immorality. Just the moment you have finished praying for 15 hours, then he brings a temptation. And if you approach it with pride and say, I'm too big for this, then you fall. Because pride goes before all fall. What keeps the best of us is the grace of God unto him that is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless. So the devil doesn't assume that a believer cannot quit from ministry despite the result. He doesn't assume that you have gone too far to come back. He doesn't assume that you have known God so much that you cannot unknow him. So it brings the same baby things, the same small things, and God help you. You look at this and say, I'm too big for this. Then you discover that your size without God is microscopic. Are you following what I'm telling you here? So pay attention. So I want to show you one of the things that you need to understand. Hey, what makes you a champion is not the number of times you punch the devil, but how many punches can you withstand? How many punches? There are people who get into the boxing ring, they can exchange 1,000 punches in 30 minutes. But just one breeze, not even the touch of the punch. Just one breeze. A punch that was missed, that blew on their face. Then they are down. So the devil understands that beyond the noise we make when we gather, the real battleground is outside. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why you observe. Father help me. Please pay attention to what I'm saying in context. How many of you were part of moves on campus that when the move started, the unity of brethren did not survive the move? Because the devil knows that the greatest strength of the church is in that bond. So I want to show you what you must understand, and I'm going to give you an illustration. So Paul speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 1. I'm going to jump a bit for the sake of time. And I'm going to jump to verse 3. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Please look up. Say it loud and clear. For though we walk in the flesh, come on, say it loud and clear. We do not war according to the flesh. Say it again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. What that means is that the moment the flesh gets between you and the enemy, then you are about to kill a friend. Let's leave that there. I'm going to come back to it. The weapon must be deployed, but if deployed through the flesh, it is counterproductive. The weapon must be deployed. And let me show you how sensitive this is. How many of you are aware that you are most vulnerable after God has done something great through you? That's when you are most vulnerable. I was ministering somewhere, and for some reasons, as against what I prepared to minister in that place, when I started ministering, the Holy Ghost began to lead me to tell parents not to curse their children. And the man who was interpreting beside me, for me, while I was ministering, suddenly bursted into tears, and he stopped interpreting. And he said, sincerely had told God that when I get home from this meeting, he was going to go and curse his son and the boy will die. Now, he knew he had that measure of authority. And the word of the Lord was coming to him to save him in that season. So, he was the one interpreting the words that the Lord was saying, but it was the one that the words were for. Because according to him, he was praying so much and doing so many things, and yet, the boy is bringing shame against the name of God. So sometimes in the move of God, it is like after fighting the Amalekites, you now have to come back to deal with the mess of the Israelites. And you are wondering if the enemy should be doing this outside, should the Israelites also pollute what God is doing? Should be the ones that will understand. So what the devil has succeeded in doing, which we are seeing a very important strategy for the last day church to survive. Number one, the weapons we use are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. If there is any other way to put it, the weapons are mighty through love for the pulling down of strongholds. Spiritual warfare would have been easy if all you are fighting is the devil. What do you have to do? You have to loose, you have to bind, you have to cast down. Am I correct? You have to cast out. Very easy. But I'm trying to get you to understand something. Spiritual warfare in this regard against the church is almost like an automated battle. And I want to show you how. After God created the heavens and the earth and put everything in place, scripture used the word that should not describe God and said he rested. It is what a man enters into when principles are in charge. When certain things are in charge for self-replications to take place. So as we enter into Christ, we enter into rest. But what the devil likes to do is to also counterfeit what God is doing. So he also likes to do a few things, then enter into rest. Then believers are casting and binding the devil, but he's not there. He's just put something in place that will replicate itself again and again and again, and then he's not there. But the people who are there on his behalf. So in ancient Greek, one of their battles, they were trying to take over a city, but the gate of the city could not be penetrated. So what they did was that they used their boat and they used their wood to build a mighty horse. And that's where we get the word Trojan horse from, in describing the virus that attacks your system. And their strongest soldiers eat themselves in that horse, such that their adversary by themselves came out. They see their boat, they see their ship, and saw the horse, and said, probably this is a gift they are giving to our God. And by themselves, they wheeled the horse into their own city, with the enemy inside the horse. Such that by the time they were going to defeat the city, the strong men came out in the middle of the night and opened the gate of the city that could not be breached. So the defeat could only be possible if it happens from inside out. And this is the same system the devil is deploying. The defeat of the church is only possible if the church is defeated from inside out. Jesus had said, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not withstand against it. So the devil will say, I won't want to fight the church with the gate of hell. It is automated. The gate of hell can't win. But I can fight the church with the church. I can make a Christian not understand the reality of another Christian. And then breaks down and attack it, and then the believer is down. You know, one of the things, the humbling thing I've learned in my walk with God is that somebody that, now, get this in context. My issue with a person doesn't mean God has issue with the person. It is I and God is God. And generally we are sons and daughters. Do you get what I'm saying here? So what the devil likes to do is to, if you look at the book of Psalms, chapter number 11, from verse 2. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 11:2 says, for lo, the wicked bend their bows to shoot privily at the upright in heart. So the devil cannot sit to shoot at a man who is in Christ. He gives the bow and the arrow to another man who is in Christ, who sees the man who is in Christ as the devil. If you understand the things I'm teaching you, you will survive different seasons in the body of Christ. And you are going to walk through this earth like the devil doesn't exist. Are you following what I'm saying? The secret is not just in the jumping and the noise and everything. Yes, those things are important. Because where revival is, there is no silence. There is noise. But beyond the noise, there is a configuration that must take place. Because the place of strength must be from inside out. Because the place of battle is also from inside out. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The place of strength must be from where? Inside out. Say from inside out. Say it again, from inside out. Because the place of battle is from where? Inside out. I went to minister in a place 11 years ago. And as I got there, I was trying to preach. It was a 72 hours of prayer. And the Holy Spirit told me that there are two witches here. That one of the witches have been looking for a way to be free. That I should call her out. And she's going to come out and be free. So I said that I'm going to give altar call for one out of the two witches. Because you are the one who is trying to be free. The other person, you are not trying to be free. So we're going to come to your matter. So the person who came out as the one who is trying to be free is the cook for the missionary that I'm going to minister for. And when she came out, the man was so angry and he said she needs to suffer and blah, blah, blah and so on. But later she was delivered. All right? You don't fight with carnal weapons. Now, what was shocking was when I called out the second person with the fire of the Holy Spirit. The person who came out was the fellow who had been interpreting for him for years. Discernment is sharper if you are looking outside. It is always bleak if you are looking inside. You have more strength if you are fighting an enemy you hate. You are weak against your brothers. Please pay attention. Say it again, the harvest of the church. Say it again, the harvest of the church. Now let me show you something you must understand about this harvest. The book of Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 10. Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 10. Now, I'm going to read from King James translation and I'm going to show you a couple of other translations and I'd like you to listen attentively. Ephesians 3:10, just a minute. Alright. To the intent. Now look at it. To the intent. That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now look at what Amplified Translation says. So now, through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in all its countless aspects might be made known, revealing the mystery to the angelic rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. What this means is that what we are thinking we want to address is one thing. What God wants us to address is things that are so wide as his wisdom. When the church begins to get into the harvest, even angels should marvel. Because what God wants to do, this is the intent, to show to the church the multifaceted wisdom. Not a personalized dimension, but the wisdom of God in its rich variety. That you look at the church and you can't understand what is happening. Something happened years back. One of my boys got to a point on campus, he stood where fellowship used to meet. And he saw this fellowship holding meetings. And what he didn't realize was that the devil was also standing beside him. And the devil said, you see all this church, they are liars, they are nonsense. Why can't we have one church? Why can't we have just one people? Why should we have this? Why should we have that? Why should we have this gathering? Why should we have that gathering? We have to have those gatherings because the devil is not doing one thing. That's why we need to have those gatherings. We need to have different things because the devil is not doing one thing. If one aspect of the move goes for everybody, the harvest will not be done. So what God does is that he brings people at different level of revelation based on what the devil is doing. Specific soldiers for specific battles. And you believe that you have to keep dreadlocks and you are still acceptable and all that. If you believe that you have to wear long skirts and that's the only thing that is acceptable, if you come before the one who has dreadlock, you are not the man for the harvest. So God needs somebody else whose heart is flexible enough to understand that he is in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So if all you want to see is your type, all that will be won is your type.
So in the wisdom of God, he's going to have types that demonstrate the multifaceted wisdom of God. That when you look at people who have gone to clubs, and you have been to church all your life, you can't have their message because you don't know their battles. So what God does is that he brings people from the club, brings them out, bath them clean, polish them, and send them back to the club. So that we have them as undercovers. We understand what the devil is doing in them and now can bring them out. Many of you are too early for the specifications of the assignment. When it gets to the harvest, you have to be ready to get yourself dirty. You can't be too clean for what God is doing. You can't be too clean for what God is doing. The harvest of the church is ripe. The laborers cannot be too clean or too decent for what God is doing. And because one man cannot be everything, God makes everyone different things. So, in doing that, they win different people. The move of God cannot be monopolized. It cannot be personalized. You do your own aspect as other men do their own aspect. Is this simple enough? Yes. So the reason why God is not going to stop, and I believe that one of the things that God is doing in this season is that he's exporting laborers from Nigeria into the hands of the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? He's exporting laborers from Nigeria into where? The hands of the earth. They are not going because of better opportunities. They see them even with the opportunities as the needy. And that's why you can find out that in America, where the government provides everything you are praying for here, people are still dying of depression. Because there is a void in man that government can fill. Only God can. And the reason why this message is important is that we are in a season that is a season of delivery of a new nation. It is important that simultaneously we are also having midwives. We are in the season of a birthing of a new church. And it is important the new church is birthed first so that the new church can birth the nation. If those in the world birth the nation, they will see the church as the enemy of the nation. So what God wants to do, and each time something is about to be born, the devil will stand there. There's a man child that is about to be born, there's the dragon standing there. But there is a God who is ready to take the man child and the woman up as soon as she is born. So you must understand what God is doing. Don't box God to a corner. Sometimes he has said something and what he said is not put full stop to it. It's a comma. And he's still going to say many more things. You can't tell me at age 30 you have found your purpose for your life. Your purpose continues with exposure and time. Is this simple enough? Because as you obey God in different faith, he reveals another thing. And there are some things he will have you do, not because they were in your scroll, but because they were in somebody's scroll, we didn't do them. And it's going to come and say, do it. So one of the best positioning you can have is flexibility around the move of God. He is one God, but he's not doing one thing. He's doing many things at the same time. Is this simple enough? Let me say this to you. Anybody who, and I bless God that there are prophets here. Right now, what is going on in the spirit realm is not just joy. Let me tell you something. It's the pain of childbirth. Joy. If you understand what is about to happen, I mean, people sit down and say that Nigeria will be free. Nigeria. Let me say this to you. If the church is not prepared, the church will be ready for the greatest adversity we've had in history. So what God wants to do is to first prepare and furnish his own people. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because distraction in the season of the harvest will bring the greatest wastage. So God is preparing the church. There is an harvest that is ripe. There are problems in the world that technology is not solving. COVID showed us how nations can be helpless. We saw nations who had boasted in their pride, preparing with weapons of mass destruction, but no weapons to save life. And nations were helpless. COVID showed to us that the whole earth can be shut down. In India, they were throwing away their gods because those gods were not giving answers. But what the church needs to understand is that darkness is not a threat to the church. Darkness is the greatest opportunity for you to show the light. The beauty of light is not known until there is thick darkness. And that's why you see scriptures in Isaiah 60 that arise and shine, for your light is come. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and God's darkness then people. In the midst of that, what will happen? The light of the world shall arise upon you. So when darkness is at its peak, then God is at his best. You dwell in Goshen, what is happening in Egypt is in Egypt. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you are threatened by what is happening in Egypt, it's because you are not in Goshen. So every problem of the world is the opportunity of the church to enter the harvest. You have things that your technology and the things you depend on are not solving. And we have a greater light. And we can show you how that these things can happen. In the days of John G. Lake, there was a sickness that could not be cured. He asked them to put it under his hands and view it under a microscope. As they viewed it, those microbes were dying. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, COVID showed us Christians who are preparing for the last days and those who are not. Those who are not are saying, please still shut down. And those who are saying, release us, let us go. It is like the days of David and Goliath. We have the David Christians and we have the Saul Christians who will cower into their house for 40 days. And even when they say go, they say we can't go. But the David will say, I am well able. So God is writing different things in this season because this is the harvest season. And it is important the church understand that it is the harvest season. There are different departments and compartments in the harvest. What God wants to bring out is a people that their convergence shows is multidimensional wisdom. What is happening in Abuja is happening in Suleja, in Kogi, where again, in Kaduna, in Kano, in Oyo, in Lagos, in Bayelsa, and different places. God is walking under the ground. Alright, and it's bringing people that will show different dimensions. And what you must do is to recognize that the laborers will look like what they are about to harvest. Let me come again with that. Do you know that if you have a message for a generation, it is important you speak in the language of the generation? You can be so passionate about the message that you convey it with burden but without wisdom. And the generation you have the message for will not receive you because you are not speaking their language. Let me put this to you. Burden is powerful, but it must be appropriated in context. Burden is good. You can have burden for young ministers, and it's a right burden that came from the place of prayer. If that burden is not deployed through love, the same way our weapon is deployed through God. You will deploy that burden through the flesh, and you will hurt the young ministers you ought to help, and God will have to raise another person to help the young ministers. So it is possible to be called into the harvest and also be killing and be trampling on what you are to harvest, because you are not deploying your weapons through love. Are you following? Is it simple enough what I'm saying here? You are not deploying your weapons through what? Through love. So what God wants to do, the church of the harvest, is not an outer court church. In the outer court, what they had was the light of the sun. What they need was the things they could see, the things they could feel, the things they could touch. The church of the harvest is the church in the holies of holies, whose light is from God. What is their prayer point? The kingdom. The harvest of nations. Do they have personal need? Yes. But their lives has gone beyond those personal needs. We are not gathered because of a miracle. And it is not revival if 90% of our gathering are because of the things people can see, feel, and touch. It is revival if the prayer is, give me you. Until we get there, what we have also is a beggarly church. But what we need to have is a triumphant church. A church without wrinkles, without spots. A church whose motivation of gathering is God and more of Him. You can sit around the world for hours and keep eating into His wisdom. So the gathering of people is not necessarily the conclusion that what we have is revival. the purpose of the gathering is what shows us what we have. Amen? What did I say? The purpose of the gathering is what shows us what we have. So what God is doing now is that he brought somebody out from somewhere. How many of you know that when a snake bites a person, you don't just get antivenin anywhere. You also need to get it from a snake. So when the devil inflicts injury on believers, then they become the potent captain to help those who have been inflicted with those same injuries. They become useful. They become very important. Are you following what I'm saying here? So a prostitute that Jesus has saved, that he has washed with his blood, is not an ex-prostitute. It's a brand new person with experience. Amen? Not an ex. And when it is time for us to enter into that harvest, nobody will do the job better, regardless of your prayer hour, than those who understand their language. That one can look at them and with the simple statement, I have been here before, they give their ears. So you must understand that. That's what God is doing now. Have you been beaten? What bit you, God is trying to use you to help those who bite. And that's why you find out that sometimes you are going through pain and you pick hymns to read and there's comfort. Because there are songs of people who have gone through written for those who will go through. I remember there was a time in my life I was going through something really, and you know, a very turbulent season. And I got to my room. I had a boy staying with me. And he was playing on this mouth organ. And him, there shall be showers of blessing. And I knelt down to pray, but I picked the hymn and I started singing with him. And as I got to the part that says that there will be showers of blessing if we trust and obey, I busted into tears. Because it communicated to the things I was going through. May I tell you this? That if you have been beaten by the serpent, it is not because you are not going to be useful in what God wants to do. It is because you are a captain to those who have been beaten now. You have failed. You've had experiences. You've made mistakes in the past. You've been to prison. You've done many things. In the midst of those things, God was also, the devil was at his worst, God was also at his best. If you are here now, then I tell you, the reason is because God wants to walk through you to bring out and root out people that some like us probably may not have the anointing to bring out. And you know, anointing is strange. Because sometimes people who deploy strange dimensions don't even feel anointed. They are just simple people that God is mighty through their lives. Are you following what I'm saying here? Simple people that God is what? Mighty through their lives. So if the devil has not succeeded in being, you know, sometimes the devil does his worst. I can tell you stories of great men. I was reading the story of Father Nas. He was pastoring in a church. They did voting and they voted him out. His heart was broken. And he went to meet Charles Jiffinley. And he requested to be praying alongside. And they will pray for weeks before a meeting in a place. And spend time praying and pray and pray. People were confused at the way he was praying. At the time the man died, Charles Jiffinley had to stop outreaches. Because that was the power behind it. But where did that energy come from? It came from a season where the devil thought he was at his worst. The season where the devil thought he may never rise again. The season where the devil thought he may never become anything important in the scheme of God. But may I announce to you, in that same season is the season that God is enlisting you for the most strategic war. And you are going to be a soldier who may not wear the uniform because you have to be an undercover. You will wear the shoplifters and go to court because you understand. Listen to me. Why is it that we have believers? Those who are in the world are not afraid to come to the church to look for a girl. But those who are in church are afraid to go to the world. They feel when they get there, something happens to them. An average believer that says an apostle is afraid of the shrine. But we are in the days that God is going to furnish people here and they will go to the shrine and pick deadly things. It will not harm them. Because they also understand that the power behind those things are vain. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when the devil thinks he is at his worst, God is at his best. So you are going to see people that you don't think God should move through. But what you should understand is that it is the harvest. And the concern of the Father is the harvest. What's the concern? The harvest. What's the concern? What's the concern? What's the concern? The harvest. And by the time we have gathered it, Scripture says this should be the end. That angels themselves will look and marvel at the manifold wisdom of God. What that means is that God is doing things that an average man could not have thought. So, the more the problem we see, the more the indication that we are not yet manifesting that manifold wisdom. Some people feel that children ministries are not strategic enough because nobody will honor you. But now we are seeing children do things that are unspeakable. Some people believe that it's just women that should be coached and we have left the boys. Now the boys who are not taught are doing unspeakable things for the girl who have been trained. And God is saying, I am looking for more and more undercovers. There are prophets who will not say, this is the color of your cloth, this is the amount you have in your pocket. But there are people that understand times and seasons. Are you following what I'm saying? Some of them will be in the banks. They just know by the Spirit where the figures are going in the nation. Daniel didn't have a pulpit podium to preach, but he was a strategic symbol in the move of God. So some will receive the training of a pastor, not so they could preach, but so they could survive. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will receive the training of a pastor, not so they could preach, but so they could what? Survive. Because pastoral training is not necessarily about just the ethics. First and foremost, he called the disciples that they should be with him, then he might send them forth. So we're going to have people receive serious trainings in church, and they are still not going to end up holding the microphone. So what many people think is that as long as I'm not going to hold the microphone, I don't need those training. You need them. Because if you don't get them, you will destroy the harvest you love so much. Are you following what I'm telling you here? So this is what God is doing now. Widening the heart of the church. Telling you there is more than what you have read about in history. Telling you that I'm deeper than the things you want. I want to reconcile those who call unreconcilable. I want to win those who call unwinnable. Years back, I was on campus. And we had the crusade. I preached in the crusade. And a girl came among those who gave her life to Christ. And I didn't know that she was the girlfriend of the head of the cultists in the campus. But what we do is that, give your life to Christ, we'll get you baptized quickly in the Holy Ghost. So we got her baptized, she spoke in tongues and enjoyed herself. And she went home, and by herself, nobody told her, nobody even knew, she went to break the relationship up. So she went and told the guy she was not doing anything. And how did I know? I was ministering in church like this, and the boys came into the church. Are you seeing that these guys are not afraid? They came into the church, and held me the same way you hold a criminal, a common criminal, and jacked me by my trouser and dragged me out of the church, and the microphone had to fall. And members of the church could only stand up because they had a gun. So they were all looking at me, and I was also hearing some of my members saying, our pastor has big mouth. Should he do everything? I was hearing downstairs, and some were just saying, hey, leave him all. And the guys gathered around. But what we didn't know was that it was because an harvest was ripe. And while they gathered around, I couldn't tell. I was not trying to smile because I was afraid. I like to be honest. Reality, I was afraid. I'd seen a pistol in one of their pockets. And I know pistol is not a love language. So, I was afraid. I was not feeling anything. I was not feeling the Holy Ghost. If you feel it, I was not feeling anything. The only feeling I knew at that point was fear. But something also happened. I didn't know why. I couldn't stop laughing. How would you be afraid and you can't stop laughing? So I was smiling. And one of the boys looked at me and said, "You didn't smile." Say, "You didn't smile." Then the smile increased and then got to a laugh, to me, started laughing. And the guy was pushing my chest. I said, "Stop laughing now. Stop laughing. I will deal with you." He was pushing my chest. Then I was surprised when I heard him say, "I rebuke you. I rebuke you." The cultist is rebuking the pastor. So he was pushing my chest and say, "I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you." And then he now added, "In Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name." Then I noticed he became so serious, and somewhere along the line, he just busted into tongues. And now listen, what happened at the end of the day is that now as I'm speaking to you, the four guys who came are pastors of churches. Because when it is the season of the harvest, a soul of Tarsus may be going to go and kill the church, but is also going to be harvested. Somebody may come to church to look for a girl, but is also coming to be harvested. And the wisdom of God is, the harvest is not going to be harvested until the pastor comes. It can be the keyboardist who is on the keyboard with the Holy Ghost. Let him be so potent enough that God can harvest that through him. It can be that the person you will meet at the door is just going to be an usher at the door. Let that person be so potent enough that God can harvest that verse to him. Are you aware someone can set eyes on the Christian and there is conviction and the fellow repents? No preaching, no message. So what you must understand is that the harvest can take place at any time, even with sight. The harvest can take place when somebody is gossiping about you in your hostel. And the fellow talks about you till the fellow now hears things about your walk with God. And the fellow is fascinated and then converted. When it is the season of the harvest, God does anything to bring anyone inside. It's that simple now. So when you walk on the street, you understand, I am not just a person, I am the sequel of the Lord for harvest. And I must carry God so much that an individual can see me. Are you aware? Sometimes you hear things like a Christian entered into a bus, they had an accident and everybody died. My question is, who were those Christians that the Christian encountered? They were the last hope of God to rescue this person, but they were not sequel enough. Years back, a family came to greet us in our house, and they were going to travel for a wedding. From Kano, they were going to go to Abeokuta. And while they came, the arrowhead of the reality of God in that family was a 5-year-old girl. She was more sharp in the spirit than the father. The girl had stopped eating for 3 days. She said, "They are not going anywhere." She cried and cried and cried and said, "They are not going anywhere." My father called him and said, "Would you pray about this, your trip?" And the man said, "They have to go. They've not seen grandma for a while and all that." And the family traveled and they had an accident and everybody died. The person who could pick it, who could not interpret it, was just a small girl who knew something was happening. They had packed all of them to the mortuary and they found out that the hands of the man was shaking. So they got him, helped him, resuscitated him, and now he's alive, remarried, but the first family wiped out. And sometimes things are like that. Somebody is coming to from a place where there are no watchmen. Nobody to see what the devil wants to do. And this is what God is asking. Can I have Christians, sons and daughters, who they are not sharp only when they are holding the mic. They are sharp when they are spreading their nostrils. Anywhere, anytime. That when the devil has concluded that this is what is going to happen and nobody can stop it. And there is a believer who at the glance can pick what the devil wants to do. We are the last hope of God to stop the activities of the devil. And what God wants is that we are not just sharp when we are in church. We are sharp anywhere else, even on phone. Are you following what I'm saying here? Anywhere else. And sometimes you see the harvest is wasting. Children of God dying early. Things, terrible things are happening. And God has people there. They are in the middle of harvest that they are not aware. When you leave this meeting and you get into your cars and your vehicles and those who take buses, anywhere you find yourself, you are right in the middle of an harvest. But I pray for you, may you be sharp enough to discern what needs to be harvested. Can I hear that amen loud and clear? May you be sharp enough that nothing will escape you. Because what the scripture says in Joel 2 is, behold, an army shall come. And when this army will come, there's fire burning behind them, and behind them a flame of fire. The land before them is as the Garden of Eden. They will not break their ranks. And scripture says, nothing. What did I say? Nothing. Say it again. Say it again loud and clear. Nothing. Say it again. Nothing shall escape them. Meaning, if I met this believer today, I'm yesterday, and today I heard this believer is no more, I should go on a retreat for not picking it. I don't go on a retreat only when I feel that the devil is attacking me. I go on a retreat when I feel the devil is attacking other believers and I can pick it, and yet we're in the same space. It means I'm a sickle but blunt. I'm no more sharp for the harvest. And what happens is that when you are not sharp for the harvest, in no time you join the camp of the enemy. So what God wants to do is to sharpen your hedges. Not just in mouth, but that you are spiritually sensitive. Elisha was in his house, but he could hear what the king is saying. One of the reasons why they insult the church and abuse us is because they know we are not sharp sickles. There are just few who are sharp. You see, one way never to emerge or never to grow is to wait to be told it's time to pray before you pray. When you hear a message like this, as you get to a point where you see that things are escaping you, you begin to cry. Why have I been a sickle for the harvest, but I can't cut? Why have I been an individual that God has placed in a territory, yet there are still announcements that I look for a man? Is God saying that I am a man that is available but not usable? Why is God still searching for people despite my availability? Can I cut? Am I still sharp? Can God trust me with his multidimensional wisdom? Are things escaping me and the devil is having a field day while I'm alive? And I can boast and talk about many things, but it doesn't change the fact that the devil is still doing what he wants to do, like a believer is not there. Let me share this story, and I need to pray because I like to stick with my time. Years back, one of my spiritual, I was in my house. Then the Holy Ghost gave me a nudge. I pray in this season you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Now, you didn't say that amen like one would desire it. Because when you are in the spirit, you will hear different announcements. Being in the spirit is like being online. Many of you only hear the news when it is in the news. That's still news. Some who are online with God have picked it moments before. And there's been transaction, all stakeholders are taking advantage of that reality. Then the result is the consequence. So God spoke to me and said, go to the house of so and so, so person. So I stopped what I was doing and I went to her house. She didn't invite me, but I went to her house. As I got to the house, I knocked and knocked and knocked. Nobody answered. And I knew that God led me here. He couldn't have led me here to waste my time. So I kept knocking. What I didn't know was that that morning, as she got up from the bed, a spirit told her that, start telling everybody, today I'm going to die. Bye bye. Have you heard people that died and you heard they say things relating to death? It was a spirit manipulating them. They couldn't have died until they have signed. And that speech is their way of signing. And she was doing like that and telling her children, we may say we will last, I will not last. And the spirit told her, lock the door, lie down, cover yourself because I'm going to take you now. And she locked the door, she laid down and covered herself, and she was having a struggle. And then she said she saw the spirit in her vision and they were fighting. And at that point, she was not a mature Christian. And the only thing she could say is, I'm going to call my pastor. And she said, the spirit of death replied her that even if your pastor is going to come from his house before he gets here, I would have killed you. They were still having that conversation when the both of them now heard my voice at the door. Open the door now. So what God wants is for us to go ahead in sensitivity ahead of the spirit of death. that because you are alive and around in a territory, the devil cannot have a field there. And when the spirit heard the voice, she said the spirit released her and left. And then she couldn't get up from the bed. That was when she could get up. When she came out, she was just crying. You are not a prophet because you pick things once in a while. You must be in a realm where you hear it. Transactions are taking place. And listen, you don't have to be a prophet to be prophetic. The prophet office of a prophet is an office, but all believers are to pick realities in the spirit realm. Be prophetic, know what God is doing, and know what the devil is up to. You know what God is doing so you can enter, know what the devil is up to so you can stop it. And let me tell you this. You can never maximize the harvest if you are not given to prayer. It is by the means of prayer we transport. Many of you leave the rites every day. You only enter the rite when you come to church. Are you following what I'm saying? Is it simple enough? And that's why I need you to pray. The harvest is ripe. I can't afford to be a blunt sickle. I can't be in a territory and there's still an announcement for men. Lord, here I am. The harvest of the nations are ripe and you are sending in laborers. Let your eyes shine upon me, O Lord. Whatever needs to be done for me to enter into what you are doing, to see what you are doing, Lord, do it now. I open my heart and I open everything to you. Sende mokopakata, yende tikumi mata kabala, yende kebakaba kalaba kalaba fish. Lift your voice loud and clear. Shele kimbra bakaba netesh, yende tikumbo komba ha. Zende kebono sukabata. Jesus. Kalamata kabarakati brufrede makati. Lembele kumbro poko filatai. Ende kai de mokos. Eh! Kande maka. Esebon bela kai de vakasi. In Jesus. Mighty name we are praying. Let me say this to you. Please pay attention. Things might be happening, just stand where you are and pay attention. One of the things that happens is that when the devil can lure people out of the harvest and lure them out of the secret place, the energy it takes to come out is not the same energy it takes to go back. A man can stop praying effortlessly for a week, but it will take greater energy to resume back. And what God is doing now is that there are some people who ought to be at certain levels. They are still Christians, but there's a room they ought to be to function. And there are things that they are yours by ordination, but God has been giving other believers who are more faithful. And I know what I'm saying like I know my name. So what God is doing tonight is that He's making an announcement and bringing people back into the right harvest. Because God ordained before and He raised you for a purpose. And because Esther was going to forget the reason why she was lifted. And Mordecai said, could it be that for this purpose the Lord has separated you and raised you? And she had to come to a point of, if I die, I die. If I perish, I die, I perish. Don't become more professional than what God is doing. There's a reason why He set you up for those things. And now He's expecting that you can still be at the top of your profession yet with your sickle. And harvest when I show you what to harvest. And there's a need for you to cry now. I am a believer, I know. But I have left office. I have left office and I need to be reinstated. And you have to make that loud and clear. Make it loud and clear. And roar. Nothing to disturb me from now onward. Yakada bakabela katish. Ekele mokombre beketish. Yay! Shele kete 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 kete. Yeah, come, go, 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 go. Stumble, get it. Yeah, get it. Somebody's crying. Yeah, come, demo, come back, come on, fish. Aïla Kaye de Mousse. Ba 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 ba. Sendo no kombro bo kobele kei. Aïa ka ba 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 ba. Sele makata. In Jesus' name we're praying. Now, let me, like I said, amen. Please pay attention. I'm very sensitive in the spirit to what God is doing, apart from the fact that it's a season to sound the alarm and make certain announcements. But it is also a season of certain specifics in the life of people. Because there are about to be certain replacement for the things that God lifted some people for. Are you following what I'm saying here? For some of you, God gave you the speed because he has planted certain things to happen that you should enter. But you confuse those things as things you should settle with. They are supposed to be tools for the job. He gave some of you certain privileges so you can bring his name into those places. And don't confuse those seasons and believe God just wants to settle and enjoy. Those things are setups so that his assignment can be moved. Are you following what I'm saying here? And we are going to raise an alarm over this house. And I know there are many people connected online that certain alarms need to be raised. Because there's about to be a betting of the reason why God is doing what he's doing in your life. So at this season, I want to please request for Prophet JT, if you won't mind, sir. And I want us to raise an alarm. Wherever you are, please lift your hands and be very intentional. We are witnessing the end of an era and the beginning of another force. And there is transition taking place in the spirit realm. And during transition, there is change, there is exchange, and there is replacement, and different things are happening. But you just have to key into this atmosphere. Like I read in Acts 13, that when certain prophets and teachers gathered, the Holy Ghost said, separate Paul and Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. Alright? There is a gathering of prophets and teachers and apostles tonight. Apostolic moves are better when prophets and teachers come together. That's when apostolic moves are better. But you must understand apostolic moves is deeper than the microphone. There are apostles in different fields. And I am seeing things happening like some people, God has been waiting for them to pick up their uniforms. And I'm seeing that in the spirit realm. Upon those people I asked that the hand of God come, three of them. It's been waiting and there's been a waiting and now is the time. Where are they? One, two, three. Wherever they are, let the fire of the Holy Ghost penetrate the space. Now, three of them. Three of them. Help them. Help them. And God has been waiting for you to pick those uniforms. And this announcement and the lifting of the shofar tonight is for you to pick back those things. Probably for this purpose has he lifted you. The things that killed others couldn't kill you. The things that stopped them couldn't stop you. So you can enter at this time and have the spirit. Not so you could boast about how studious you are, but so you could know the grace of God that makes all things happen. And we are raising a sound. Lift your hands where you are and say, Lord, here I am again. I enter into the harvest and this is my heart before you. Use me. And please don't change your mind about me. Please go ahead. Go ahead and raise the sound. Man of God, please come. And I just perceive that there are announcements in the spirit realm even before now. And we just want to proclaim those announcements.
Lift your hands, everybody, as a point of contact with the Holy Spirit. Omnipotent power of mercy and grace. Spirit of the living God in this place, I ask that you stir the waters now. And every calling, every anointing, every gifting, every office in the spirit that has been veiled, that has been covered by strongholds of darkness, by level certain dimensions of procrastination and ignorance and lack of obedience, in the name of Jesus, under this anointing, we let it loose. We let it loose. We release the fire of the Lord. And we sound the alarm in Zion. Let the waters arise. Let the spirit waters arise. Let the waters arise. Let men gain ascendancy now. Let them begin to ascend in the spirit. Let them be transported. be removed from the altar. Let it be fired back to flame. Fire on your altar now. Fire on your altar right now. Fire on your altar right now. Pakade Shabaka. In the name of Jesus, I sense in my spirit, I see the Lord using this message to rearrange broken altars. And I see the Lord removing dross and ashes from altars. And I see the fire of the Lord falling afresh. Because the Lord says that one of the problems of the revival in Nigeria is that we have raised prayer warriors, but we do not have the required critical mass of watchers. And the instruction for not falling into temptation is that we both watch and then we pray. We have mastered the realm of prayer, but we do not have enough people who know their tower, who have the sound that can declare a new season. And the Lord has sent this man so that watchers will rise. So now in the name of Jesus, angels of the Lord, observe this protocol. At the count of three, let the density of watchers that must arise in this season to match the intercession over Nigeria for the betting of the new season, for the slaying of the dragon, so that the man child can emerge. 1, 2, 3, we declare the opening of the doors. Let the watchers arise. Let the altars be aflame. Receive fire. There's fire here. The fire of God is falling. Help them, help them. Help them, help them. Fire of the Lord. Papa Kadabaka. First fruit of the anointing here. They are a first fruit of the power of God here. Bring them, bring them, bring them. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Release in this place. Pakaba Shabaka. One more thing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. One of the anointings in this house is the anointing to raise kings, prophets, and priests. Because the corruption in our land, man of God, is rooted in the disagreement between the three original protectorates of Nigeria. It's an old war. It looks like a federation in the natural, but in the spirit we are not connected. We're not united, so we can't download our scepter. Power is not with us. The north was supposed to bring government. It was supposed to bring the redemptive purpose of the king. The west was supposed to stand as the priest because of her power of intellectualism and the complexities of the temple. The east was supposed to bring sonship and the prophetic. That's why the highest density of the profane prophetic realm is in the eastern part of Nigeria. And God is saying that in this season, He is raising for us another tribe of kings, of priests, and of prophets because of the redemptive purposes over Nigeria. So Father, in this place, one last time, you see, when you were describing garments, some people were receiving kingly robes. Some were receiving prophetic robes with all the investiture of that office. Some were receiving the Urim and the Thummim. They were wearing the priestly garment. And the Lord says, if we declare it, men will come into it. That man child must be born. We quiet the dragon of our nation. We give power to the womb. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. It's time to come to your day. Your day must dawn. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the garments of the Spirit, that occasion, ordination, and procession, now, the kingly realm, the prophetic realm, the priestly realm, in the name of Jesus, It jumps on you right now. It jumps on you right now. It jumps on you right now.
Hey.
There's a lady under the sound of my voice. The Holy Ghost had been impressing you. Help them under power, bring them. Because the investiture is still going on. Angels are still wearing those robes. It will come with a burden. And then that burden will become utterance and power for those realms
when,
of authority.
When you speak of a lady now, yes. I heard the name Esther.
Wow.
I don't know who that person is, but I heard the name Esther. There's an Esther here that something is happening to as we speak.
My God.
Who is the Esther?
My God.
There's an Esther that the Lord is speaking about in this season.
Come. Because, man of God, the prophetic word I was going to give when I said there's a lady here is that God has been speaking to that lady about politics and policies.
Wow.
I was just going to say there's an ordination on a certain lady.
Wow.
And the Lord had begun to say to that lady that the elections after this one, he will have her play certain roles. And he's asking her to start as an intercessor, to intercede that the policies that have been set up in the nation against the goodwill of the ordinary Nigerian and the strongholds of it thereof will be pulled down. The Lord has promised that if she stands in the corridors of heaven as an intercessor, in two seasons from now, two political cycles from now, he will make an Esther out of her. So when you shouted Esther, I mean, it shocked me to my bones. If you have an ordination on your life, and you know that God has called you into politics, and you have been timid, maybe because of culture, or the way women are raised in your background, it doesn't exactly fit, but you know you've been sensing a signal, an impression from the Lord. Something turns on within you when political conversations are going on. The Lord is saying, Esther's and Deborah's are rising. I want you to come. I want you to come. 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 You are a first fruit, a kind of what the Lord is doing. If this is true about you, come. The man of God must pray for you. Because whatever your name is called in the natural, God calls you Esther in the spirit. And the moment that proclamation is made, something from within you will rise. Please come, come, come. Come, come. Come, come. 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 30 seconds, come. 25 seconds, come. 20 seconds more, come. 15 seconds. 10 seconds more. Come. 5 more seconds. Come. 3. 2. 1.
And Father, those of you standing out, please lift your hands. Because first among the things that the Lord is doing is installing the spirit of boldness.
Yes.
And removing the operations of fear. Then it's opened certain doors in his favor. Because the season coming requires favor.
Yes.
And Father will make this announcement on all your children. And we ask that the grace to begin, the grace to see what you are doing in this season through their lives. The grace to be the beginning of an era, the beginning of a kind. The grace to enter into what you have called them for. Will begin to speak right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I ask, please lift your hands and join it together. Upon every one of them standing here, we ask that there is a communication of your grace that will begin to move you in the direction of your ordination. I'm going to count 1 to 3. And there's going to be a falling of his fire.
Yes.
1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Touch them.
Yes.
Sweet spirit. Touch. Touch them. Touch.
Yes.
Touch. Touch them. Touch. 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 That there's a resting of that which the Lord has ordained upon your life. And there's a betting of it in the name of Jesus. Now, for the sake of time, Apostle, the Lord said, is giving you a tongue of authority into national affairs.
That's scary.
Wow.
That's too scary. That's wow. Man of God, you know, I prefer to speak to you privately than I need to speak to you publicly, but this man is strange with the things that he's declaring right now. Because I was going to tell you privately when this meeting was done, that God is now saying that in the new political cycle, he's going to give you an anointing for politics and politicians. I'm seeing people in power coming around you to learn wisdom from the utterance God has given you. And the Lord showed me a vision where he was coming to the meeting and God was using the CBN building beside this place to teach him something about his strategic positioning in the city.
Wow.
And what was coming next.
Wow.
Man of God, does this make sense to you? And I was just going to say that this may look like a religious gathering, but it is a divine hub where very soon God is going to be calling out. There will be Nicodemus in the way that they come.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because of the power and the authority that is vested in them. But I'm seeing an increase in the strength, the stature God has given you to speak directly to power, because something is about to happen in the nation. And when this thing happens, God is going to slay the dragon of Nigeria. And he's not going to use a strange person at all. He will use a face you've always known, because nobody slays the dragon that is new to the operations of dragons.
Yes.
He has installed a man that has studied,
yes,
for a long time,
yes,
the way that the dragon moves, because the sword of the Lord is going to be in his hand. And one of the men of stature God will raise around him to provide intercession and covering will be apostle. So we must pray that God will fulfill his word for the next season over this man. Because a lot of the things we look forward to are tied to the word of God on his lips. If you love this nation and you want to see and you want to eat the fruits of this nation in your lifetime, I want you to lift your hand wherever you are and pray for this family, because they are in some kind of epicenter of something God is going to do. God will soon need a size to power, and he will need to invest in them the boldness, the courage of the lion. And we must pray as the saints. Come on, take the next 2 minutes. Oh my God, that's scary. Please pray.
Hear it well. Like I said, this meeting is a setup, and maximize this season when you have it, because a time is coming that the influence of a man so grows that meetings like this can't be held in halls. Because what God said is that the grace to unite is coming on you. Then there's another new order of influence that is coming. But while he was speaking, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw what looked like lions that were held on a leash.
My God.
And they were charging and it looked like they were coming to attack.
Wow.
And suddenly I heard someone standing say, release them.
Wow.
Then they were released. But I noticed as they came, they ran through you, they couldn't attack.
Thank you, Lord.
So the Lord said, fear not that which will come, though the enemy will come as a flood of water, but it will raise a standard against them. Because the next season is in plenty. The next season is in abundance.
Yes.
So you have to maximize this season now that you have it. There's a lot that the Lord is doing. And there's a significance why we have a year celebration and 40 day celebration. Because it will give you in a year what took 40 years. By the strength of alignment. So, it's going to begin to shrink time. Things will happen fast.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame.
To partner with Flame, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.